You've tried it all. You've written all your content from scratch, bought tons of templates, and even used ChatGPT. But month after month, your content feels sporadic, inconsistent, and lacks the conversions you're hoping for. There's good news. I have a spot open for retainer copywriting services. With a retainer, I'll write, plan, and strategize your content every single month. From weekly emails to long-form content to quarterly launches, this is your chance to ditch content overwhelm and pass off copywriting for good. If you're interested, head to the show notes or submit an inquiry at therelevantcollective.com. You have an amazing idea for a course, product, or service, but does your audience think it's a great idea? And how can you get them interested in what you're selling?
If you've ever wondered why a product wasn't selling or laid in bed all night hoping your launch would do well, you need to do some market research.
Being an online business owner is full of ups and downs. Some days you can't imagine going back to your 9-to-5, and other days you want to burn your whole business to the ground. We get it.
Welcome to Chaos to Conversions, a podcast of practical, no BS strategies to grow your online business. Each week, we're chatting about launching, copywriting, mindset, and more, so you can make sense of the chaos and do more of what works.
Join the conversation and let's grow together.
All right. So on today's episode, we are going to talk about the super scary, just kidding, it's not scary, but the super scary topic of market research. Market research is a term that gets thrown around a lot in the online business space, also probably the physical business space, but I never really hung out there much. But I know that we've seen it definitely a lot in the online space. So market research, if we were going to give it a definition, it doesn't have to be scary. All it is the act of gathering information about your audience's preferences, like their pain points, desires, challenges, goals, where they hope to be later on, and more things like that. So you want to make sure that you are collecting market research from your audience more often, honestly, than not, because the online space especially is ever changing. So I would really recommend, I think Brandon and I would both really recommend, if possible, doing a simple sort of bout of market research every 3 to 6 months. It doesn't have to be like a huge survey every 3 months with a gift card and, you know, a strategy session giveaway or anything crazy. You can collect market research in small samples as well, which we'll talk more about as we get into this episode. I mean, I would recommend doing a larger, more formal market research survey at least once a year, like a much longer, sort of more in-depth one. But you can always be collecting market research in the form of things like little Instagram polls or responding, you know, quickly to an email, small things like that. It doesn't always have to be a big, elaborate sort of endeavor. So you want to make sure that you're planning that. If you want to pop back to episode one, we talked a lot about planning your quarter and your year for your business. Make sure that you're also putting a time to collect market research from your audience, specific focus on your audience every few months in your business.
Yeah. Anytime I'm meeting with a client about launch copy that they want me to write, or even my retainer clients who come to me for just weekly emails, one of the first things I ask them is, have you done any market research? And unfortunately, a lot of times the answer I get is, what is that? Or no, I actually haven't done that in a while. But there's actually a lot of benefits to market research. It's not just like another task I'm trying to throw onto my client's plate. But if we want our content to be successful, if we want our businesses to be successful, we need market research. Because in general, we tend to make a lot of assumptions about what our audience wants and what people want. And you know what they say about assumptions. And I think a big reason for that is because when we start our businesses, a lot of times we are the ideal client. And so we think whatever we want or whatever we desire is what our clients or our customers want as well. I was actually just reading a Facebook post the other day where people were saying like, oh, I hate email marketing. I never subscribe to emails. I never read emails. So I'm not going to ever do email marketing. And like, that's fine. You're not the person then that people are writing emails for. But to say that no one in your audience is going to read emails or that everyone in your audience feels the same way is a huge assumption to make. A really big benefit to market research is to better market to your audience. So again, understanding what they want, how they want to receive content from you, also the type of content they want to receive from you. It can help you create more compelling messaging. Sometimes the way that we're talking about a product or a service may not be registering with our audience. And so we think, oh, no one wants this. But if we haven't done the market research, maybe it's not that they don't want it. It's we're not talking about it in the way that makes them compelled to buy it. It helps our audience feel understood when we do market research and we can create content and messaging that appeals to them. And of course, the big benefit is that understanding your audience really well is going to lead to increased sales and increased bookings. Some of my best-selling services have come about because I've heard the needs of my clients who've said, I really struggle with this and I created something for that need. And you can do that same thing whether you're a service provider or you create digital products. Hearing what your customers and clients want is going to lead to more loyal customers and more sales and bookings.
So a question that I know I get asked a lot, and I would bet Branda also gets asked a lot is, okay, cool. What the hell do I ask people to figure out what it is they want and how to make your audience feel understood? And I think it's like an important clarification too. I mean, market research is not designed to make you feel, you know, sleazy or salesy or anything like that, because I think at the crux of it, we all want to help our audience and our clients and like actually understand them, you know, in addition to making sure that they, you know, feel mutually that we're trying to help them. So some examples of what you could ask people, what you could ask your audience. And I mentioned this earlier that you want to make sure you're asking your audience. Let's say, for example, Branda has a free Facebook group. She doesn't, but let's pretend she does. And I post in her Facebook group asking, what do you struggle the most with email marketing? That is all fine and dandy because her audience would, you know, theoretically be interested in email marketing, but they're in Branda's group and in Branda's world because they clearly value something that, you know, Branda has. So you want to make sure that you are asking your own audience, your own email list, your own Facebook group, if you have one, your own Instagram followers, and not just necessarily, I don't even want to say poaching off somebody else's group, because that is a good place to start if you don't have your own email list or Instagram. But if you have an established email list and an established audience, you want to make sure you're actually asking them and not necessarily like a competitor's audience. Okay, so a couple examples of types of questions that you could ask. You want to make sure that you're getting to the bottom of what challenges they might have. So a question might be like, what are your current challenges when it comes to remaining consistent with your email marketing? And you can leave that as an open-ended question for them to actually fill in, you know, like on those Instagram question boxes where they could drop it in. Or if you have a couple ideas, you could also leave it as a multiple choice to kind of give people, you know, an easier answer. So you might like list time, coming up with content. I don't know, what other things do people say are challenges? Those are my two, major.
Time, coming up with things, actually doing it.
Yeah, actually doing it, which could relate back to time. So you want to kind of hit on making sure you can draw out like what their challenges are. So then later on your sales page or in your messaging, you can address how you're going to overcome those challenges for them with your product or service or program. Another fun one that is really great for later on using your audience's language, like sort of back at them, so they definitely feel understood and it's going to make for better copy, is what is one word you could use to describe blank? So like, what is one word you would use to describe when you think of creating an online course? And then people could, you know, write in or hit reply and email you back and say like, stressful, time consuming. It's helpful when they are using their own language, because then you can use that later on again to kind of overcome their objections. Something that is not asked a lot is another common objection that I have seen over and over again when working with launch clients is a lot of times people have tried other solutions to solve their problem in the past and it hasn't worked. And that's why they're now on your sales page or in your world looking for more help, because something that they've tried in the past didn't work. So how are you currently tackling, or what have you tried before to solve your problem? So what have you tried before to get your dog to stop barking, for example? And then, you know, people are going to say, well, I've taken them to PetSmart for, you know, puppy school, and I hired a private dog trainer and I disconnected my doorbell. These are not from personal experience or anything, but you get the idea. Because then when you're, you know, forming your messaging, you can again make your audience feel very understood by saying like, I know you've tried X, Y, and Z, these specific things before, and this is why my course, program, service, whatever have you, is different, because it tackles those objections. So those are just a couple of examples. I have a market research freebie that I'll leave in the show notes for you if you're struggling and you need some more help, kind of coming up with market research questions. You also, I would definitely recommend not only asking people in your audience who haven't yet purchased from you. The most underutilized resource for market research are the people who have already purchased from you or who have already joined your program or your service or worked with you before or purchased, you know, a digital product from you before, because you already got them over that hurdle, right? They've already said yes to you. So you can totally ask them the question, like, what was, you know, one thing I said, or what was the selling factor that made you decide to work with me, you know, and not somebody else, for example, because that insight to somebody from somebody who's already said yes can be really, really, really valuable when you can lean into that.
Okay, so we kind of hit on this a little bit in the first section, but we do want to give you some specific ideas for actually conducting market research. Like, where can you go to actually start asking these questions? Like Melanie said, you definitely want to reach out to your audience the majority of the time. So your Instagram, your Facebook group, but you don't actually have to go to your audience all the time. Like, you can look online for research. Keyword research, for example, can also be a part of market research, like what people are looking for, because I don't know, I think of like every true crime episode, right? Where people are Googling, like, how do I bury a body? Like, that tells us what people are thinking, right? When we go through your search history, and that stuff goes into things like keyword research. So here's some places though that we can physically go. So first one is just a market research survey you can create. This is kind of like that big survey that Melanie was talking about that you probably only do once or twice a year, because this one is a lot more in depth. And you can scatter this all over the place. So you can send it to your email list, social media, to your past clients or past customers. Anytime I work with people doing launch copy, we always do a market research survey and we split it into two. So we send it to their current members, people who have physically bought or invested in their course or membership. And then we also send it to just their general audience. You can even send it to people who, you know, maybe came to a free training or webinar, but didn't buy. That's also a great way to get market research feedback. So there's a lot of things you can do with those surveys. Instagram polls are another really great way to conduct market research, and it's a quick snippet. So I don't recommend putting like eight things in a row up on Instagram. People are going to get tired, but you can, especially if you know maybe you're creating a new product or you're working on creating a new workshop. Every few days, you can kind of drop something in your Instagram stories and collect some information. So as you are writing those emails or writing your sales page or even creating the product, you can think about the feedback that you're getting. Testimonials are a great place to do market research. Testimonials can be the reviews that you get from your products, from your services. But this is kind of, again, where using the actual words that a customer has said about your services or your products is extremely important. As a copywriter, I'm constantly asking my clients for testimonials because it tells us like what was the thing that they walked away with, because they usually rant and rave about something specific. I was just working on a piece of launch copy earlier in the week, and almost every testimonial mentioned how like comprehensive the course was. They're like, there's just so much here. I don't have to look at anywhere else. That was the big thing that almost every person said. So that's going to be the thing I lead with in a lot of the copy of like, you don't have to go anywhere else. And then of course, the internet is also a great place to just collect market research. Especially if you're new to building an audience, you can go to places like Reddit. You can look up, in different threads, like maybe you want to look up in a dog grooming thread. You can look at, you know, dog owners. You can look at their frustrations that they have. If you are someone who does Pinterest, you can look at threads that they have on Pinterest and see what people are complaining about. What are their frustrations? What are they currently struggling with? And you can use that information to create services or to kind of target your messaging.
All right. So let's also talk about some of the kind of harder parts of market research. A like little coffee chat or a prospective client interview, those are little nuggets, right? But they're hard to get, I'm not going to lie to you. Usually you need to offer a pretty big incentive, which I'll talk about here in a second. But anything with like either a prospective client where you can actually like Zoom chat or even like Voxer, anywhere that you can actually kind of get the sense of hearing somebody talk. Because a lot of times people are going to, you know, type short responses, but if you can get somebody on a call and actually have a conversation with them and sort of see where it goes, it's sometimes easier to like draw out more of the conversation, more of their struggles, more of what they want. If you're a service provider, you should treat basically every single discovery call like a market research call. I mean, it's not technically, but technically it also is, because they have gotten on the phone with you or Zoom with you for a reason, because they want your help. Even if they don't ultimately end up working with you, they're telling you all of their problems, right? Like the number one thing that every either launch client I've worked with or prospective launch client I've worked with has said, launching is just so overwhelming for me to manage on my own. And it's just, it's too many things. It's too many emails. It's too many moving pieces. And I just like can't do it. So I hear that again and again and again. So anytime I focus on like my own content, whenever I am promoting my launch management services, I tend to always use the word overwhelm, because that is a word that I have heard on literally probably every single discovery call I've ever had with a prospective launch client. I'm just so overwhelmed. So, which I get, launching can totally be overwhelming. The more you do it, the less overwhelming it becomes. That's a story for another day. So client interviews, really helpful, or prospective client interviews. Also, actual research. So if there's any like data that you physically can find, kind of this ties back into, you know, the internet. But if there is data that says, you know, 75% of new puppy owners struggle with potty training their dog, right? If there's any specific data, or probably not, I'm making all this up, but 99% of new moms wish they got more sleep, clearly. So anything that you can pull that is actually a, you know, research-based information can be really, really powerful to include in your market research and then later on your messaging. But it is not always easy to get people to take your market research surveys or to respond to your emails or to get on a call with you or to provide a testimonial. So I am a huge believer, former history teacher, so I had to take economics, that incentives do matter, meaning you definitely need to incentivize your market research. So if you can provide people taking your market research surveys with either maybe a small coupon code or a larger coupon code, if you're cool with that, if you sell like any digital products that they automatically get just for doing your market research survey. That is oftentimes helpful. People will definitely do things for giveaways for sure. I see this time and time again, and it's not bad. Like, just to be clear, it's not bad if, you know, you say when you take this market research survey, you'll be entered to win a gift card. That's definitely not a bad strategy, but oftentimes people are more motivated by something that they know that they will get in addition to having a chance, you know, to win a gift card. So you could put together a different, you know, little training that's maybe only exclusive to people who fill out the market research survey, give away a gift card, give away a strategy session, all sorts of things. But 9 times out of 10, you are definitely going to need to have some sort of incentive to encourage your audience to take your market research survey. All right. So now we've talked about what market research is, how to get it. Let's talk about what the heck to do with it once you do have it. And that is something I think Brandon and I have also seen time and time again. Our clients, and I think we're both guilty of this as well, take the time to do the market research, and then it just sits in the Google form or in the Airtable spreadsheet and never to be touched again. But there are a lot of things that you could and should do with your market research. The number one thing we want you to remember is, as much as possible, make sure that you're using your audience's actual words and find ways to address their pain points, things that they've tried before, and of course, offer them within reason, and if your product will actually accomplish it, the transformation that hopefully they're wanting to have. So you can use this market research to refine your messaging on your website, your messaging in your emails. Brand is going to talk about this more in depth. Any sort of product descriptions, if you're selling digital products, course descriptions. Brand again is going to talk a little bit more in detail about like sales pages and things like that. But also if you are, and I mentioned this earlier when I was talking about my own launch management packages, I revamped the actual description on my website and a lot of like my Instagram copy about speaking to helping people to manage and overcome their launch overwhelm with me basically like being by their side for the whole 3-month process leading up to it. So it actually really can transform if you happen to be a service provider, making sure that your service descriptions before people even hop on a discovery call with you are calling out what your audience believes and actually does need.
Yeah. So I mentioned this a little bit earlier when I talked about doing copy for my own clients and how I always talk about market research with them and ask them if they've done any in the past. And so I have a little survey I send to my clients. And most of my clients actually do some sort of digital products or have launches going on. So I'll send them a piece of market research and say, okay, here are the questions you're going to ask. I want you to send them out. And then what I do before I actually sit down and write the copy is I kind of map out those big topics, like the challenges, the struggles, the transformations, the desires. And I'll look at the research and I kind of jot down key phrases or terms that I really like. Sometimes someone will say something in the survey that I'm like, ooh, that is gold right there. And I'll kind of copy that and put it into one little, you know, Google Doc. ChatGPT is also a great place to have it break down your market research. A lot of times you can feed it like a ton of information you've gotten and it'll tell you, oh yeah, this was a common phrase or common thing that people were saying. And so like Melanie was saying, we want to actually put that into action. So we can take that copy then that we've gotten, take those highlight points of those struggles and the pain points and the challenges, put them into our launch copy, into our emails. A lot of times with launch emails, we have like each email really hits on one of those big points. And so we want to scatter that market research into that copy. Obviously, your website copy, everything from your homepage to your about page. Your about page really isn't about you. It's about your client, putting that messaging there and talking to them why you are the person to help them with their struggles using their words. And of course, all of your copy that you're writing like for that weekly basis, right? Your emails, your blogs, YouTube, podcasts, whatever you might be doing, even your captions inside of your social media post, all of that can utilize that market research that you've taken. But if you're someone like me who gets really overwhelmed looking at, you know, you get your research back and you're like, oh my gosh, that was a lot of information. Start by just chunking it up into those really big pieces.
Market research is your key to making more sales and having more effective marketing. To collect market research, you can do things like send out surveys or conduct interviews with past clients. Then take this information to improve your business. Create products and content that your audience wants. Use their words and pain points to help them feel seen.
Check out the description of this episode to get the free market research guide from Melanie that she mentioned today if you need help getting started. You can also let us know that you're listening by taking a screenshot of this episode, adding it to your Instagram stories, and tagging us at The Relevant Collective and at Duxbury Digital. See you next time. Thanks so much for joining our conversation today. If you enjoyed this episode, please head to your listening app and leave a quick rating and review.
If you're on Instagram, share this episode and tag us at Duxbury Digital and at The Relevant Collective. We'd love to hear from you. We'll meet you back here next Tuesday for more practical strategies to take your business from chaos to conversions.